We are joined right now by a good friend of the program. He is a Pac-12 football analyst. He is a filmmaker. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is host of the Yogi Roth Show podcast. He holds the honor of being the first in-studio guest on CBS Sports Network and the only man who gets his own custom greeting on this show. He is Yogi Roth. Yogi, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Bro, I'm so good. I really appreciate the time.
I really appreciate the time, too. And, you know, we've already had some college football. We've got the NFL back tonight. So let me just go ahead and ask you this question. How great is ball, Yogi?
It's the best, man. It is. It's here in some form or fashion, so super thankful for that. And I think even if you're not playing, you can find silver linings of a beautiful game to still be down with the phrase, how great is ball? I appreciate you asking me.
We're talking to Yogi Roth. Ball is great, and I'm going to talk ball with you in a minute, but you and I have had so many good conversations over the years on topics that have nothing to do with sports and more to do with mindset, attitude, approaches to life. Back on July 15th, your son was born. What was that moment like for you, Amy, and his older brother, Zane?
I appreciate you asking me that. It was surreal, to be quite honest. You know, my dad always said it's a miracle when someone enters the world. And it was exactly that. I mean, the amount of respect I have for Amy is out of control. Like, we love performances, whether it's the Miami Heat or whether it's Trevor Lawrence or your college football or the league. But there is nothing like childbirth. So that experience has been great. And then amid the pandemic and no Pac-12 football, for me, it has been a beautiful silver lining. You know, I'd be on the road 4 days a week if it was back to what it was a year ago. And now I'm looking at this kid in the face. We're doing squats, you know, trying to improve hand-eye coordination, you know, all those early things for a two-month-old. I'm enjoying every drop of it, man.
Yogi Roth is joining us. I'm going to ask you about the Pac-12 in a minute. But one of the things, Yogi, you've talked about on your podcast is the power in the pause. For those who are not familiar with that concept, what is the power in the pause, and how do you use it?
Yeah, well, to me, whenever there's space, right? You can look at your wall in your home right now. Like, you clear it off, you clear out your closet, or you clear out a room. Everybody's doing their thing during the pandemic. And the challenge is to fight filling that wall, filling that closet, filling that yard, filling all the space that's there. Because things just want to go into your world. So can you take pause and take status of, like, where you're at? What is life about? What is my life like? What is my vision board like? What does my proverbial wall look like? What does my bookshelf look like? And say, you know what? I'm going to be super purposeful about it. And I think everybody's had to do that on some level right now in their own lives and also in sport. You know, I've talked to a lot of coaches of, you have time off. Is it time to add more drills, to add more recruiting areas? Or is it to say, you know, what really has value? What really has meaning? And when you dive into grief, man, like, there's five stages of it. And the final one is acceptance. There's some believe in a sixth stage, which is meaning. And I believe in that. So at the end of the day, can you find great meaning in this grief of no football season, of maybe you've lost your job, maybe you've lost a loved one? Like, can you find deeper meaning? I think the only way to find it is to pause. And it's like an interview. The awkward silence is awkward, but usually brilliance comes from that. From you interviewing somebody, you've done that so many times in your career. And I think that's our job now in life, is to really sit and get comfortable and be where our feet is in the pause and see if some brilliance can come out of that.
Yogi Roth is joining us right now. You actually answered my next question. I was going to say, because the Pac-12 is in that pause, I wonder what it's like for the coaches, the players, the entire programs. But you're right. If you're being intentional and you're being purposeful, you can make the most of that. Let me ask you about a player in particular, Oregon offensive tackle Penei Sewell. He announced that he's going to opt out of the season. He's going to get ready for the NFL draft. What did you make of that decision, and how special a player is he?
You know, I've probably watched every snap of Pac-10 or Pac-12 football since 2003. And he's as talented of a tackle as I've seen. And I got the chance to coach Ryan Khalil. Granted, he was a center and he's played forever in the NFL. To me, he's that type of generational player, right? When you get to learn about him from his coaches and his teammates and you watch him play, man, he moves like a guard out there at times, right? He moves like an H-back when he's pulling and he's moving and he's setting. And then you talk about the qualities that he has embodied from his family. right? I got to know his brother, Noah, who's now on the team as well. He's just an absolute beast. And these guys are focused. They're about the work. And they have shown up when they've needed to, Panay specifically. And look at what Mario Cristobal has done with identifying him, recruiting him, developing him. He's the best O-lineman in the country, and it's not close, in my opinion. He's been one of the best tackles that go to the league in a long time. Not surprised by his decision. I was pleasantly surprised on the delay of it because, you know, he wanted to play. Oregon, they lost another player today, opted out for the draft. They had a special team, and they'll still have a special program moving forward, clearly losing one of the best in recent years on the offensive line is going to hurt them. But he is a powerful player. To me, he's a top five draft pick. And anyone I've talked to in the NFL has raved about him and been talking about that way about him since he stepped on the field a couple years ago.
We are talking to Yogi Roth, extremely high praise and deservedly so. Yogi, speaking of the NFL, as we look at that, back in April, you had a conversation with my guy Jordan Palmer on your podcast. What did you take away from that conversation as it relates to Joe Burrow?
Yeah, well, I remember meeting Joe when he was in high school at the Elite 11. It was in Ohio State. We had a camp on their campus. And he didn't have a great day, but you could tell he had this fire in him, you know, very similar to Miles Brennan, who's going to replace him at LSU. You know, he's just a special thing. And as a competitor, you can tell who has that and who doesn't. But guys, as you know, they need a chance. They need a stage. They need an opportunity. And he got one. And wow, what did he do? What impressed me the most, I think, from talking to Jordan was the standard that he had to prepare. You know, he is a true pro, and I think everything coming out of Cincinnati echoes that. And to me, the consistency of his performance was ridiculously impressive when you watch him on tape, but I think it's going to continue on in the NFL. I mean, his throws, his ability to move and manipulate the pocket, all those things that we all knew from watching him were impressive. But then you add in the focus and the demeanor that I think is often overlooked or often overhyped. I mean, for Joe, he's real in that regard. After talking to JP and just tracking him from high school, you could tell that that chip on the shoulder is like a boulder, but he transitioned, in my opinion, from I'm going to prove everybody wrong to I'm going to prove myself right. And I think that is such a stage for elite performance to go through. In my opinion, I think he's gone through that, which will allow him to have success on the biggest stage, which is the league.
So, Yogi, when you look at those intangibles, like you've worked with elite quarterbacks for years, how much of what makes them great is about that pure physical ability, and how much of it is about something else?
I think it's all something else. I mean, I've been around all the top quarterbacks in the country for about 20 years, and there's some whose names you would remember if you're a recruiting nerd, but if not, you have no clue how half those guys are, and they could all throw. I've seen elite passers my whole life, guys that have brilliant arm talent, that have all of the tools in terms of 6'3.5", 10.5-inch hands, you know, have the wingspan, have the stuff, but they don't love the game. And I think that's the biggest challenge moving forward right now, to be honest with you. You add in NIL, you add in Instagram, TikTok, all the things that happen with 14-year-olds who are getting offers now, let alone the Tate Martells who were getting offers when they were in eighth grade years ago. If you know him, he's at Miami now as a wide receiver, transferred from Ohio State. I just think there's so much that muddies the water around, do you love what you can do for the game or do you love what the game does for you? And I think it's really hard for athletes to continue to fall in love with the game. And I talk to locker rooms all the time. I talk about the wonder switch, Jim. And the wonder switch to me is like when your sense of wonderment for the game, for walking on the 50 and loving your craft gets turned off because of social media, because of recruiting, because you're not playing. That happens very often. Players don't love the craft anymore. Their sense of wonderment is gone, and their imagination goes negative. The coach is screwing me. I don't love the game. I'm going to the portal. Versus, I'm going to compete. I'm going to fight. I'm going to battle. I believe in myself. Man, my wonder switch is on because I'm going to turn it on. You know, I'm not going to let somebody else shut it off. I'm not going to let anybody else in the negative talk about me affect me. And I think that's a really hard thing for athletes now. So the elite ones, they have the ability to turn their wonder switch back on. They've got the ability to say, yeah, I still believe in myself, man. I'm gonna go battle right here. And I think it's hard now because I don't know how many players walk in to locker rooms with the proverbial physical skill set, really love the craft. And I think that's what it comes down to at the end. You got to throw, you got to be a competitor, but are you willing to protect it? Do you truly love it? And I would bet if you pulled a locker room, there'd be a lot of guys that would say, Yeah, I don't know if I love it, man, because it got turned off because of recruiting, and nobody's really turned it back on for me, specifically myself. And I think that is the channel and the message that I would try to give to athletes all the time.
I cannot tell you how much I like that response. Yogi Roth, my guest. Yogi, one last thought then. If you were to like even broaden that out further beyond just players, you also talk about attention on your intention, as your guy Kevin Carroll would say. How have you maintained that throughout this time? How should any of us, or how can any of us maintain that? And what is that exactly?
Yeah, so I tell it to quarterbacks all the time, and Kevin Carroll is, you know, I call him, he's on my board of life. I go to him on everything. He's a brilliant author. If people don't know him, check him out. But at the end of the day, you're always stating who you are and what you're about. The way you walk, the way you talk, how you look somebody in the eye, how you shake their hand or now elbow bump them, whatever it may be, your intention is out there. And a lot of times, I don't think we recognize it. And I ask athletes all the time, what do you put it out there? What do you really want? And day one psychology would say to accomplish anything, you have to be willing to write it down, say it out loud, and tell somebody who you're close with what you're intending so they can hold you accountable to it. So I would say that to the general population or an athlete of what are you intending to do? You know, like for me, I want to call the Rose Bowl. That's my dream in my career. That's my intention. I'm going to call it. Well, until I get assigned that game, every game I call, I'm looking through the lens of, hey, man, I'm calling the Natty right now. You could ask our producer, what do I say before every game? I get on the talk back and say, let's go call the Natty. Let's go call the Rose Bowl. And I'm going to practice like I've done it. So I've called, in my eyes, 120, 150 Rose Bowls already in my career because that's my attention. Versus, man, I'm calling this whack non-conference game right now. Or, hey, maybe nobody's paying attention. Or this isn't a ranked opponent. Or maybe, you know, I'm not calling any games like right now. You can't go that way. So I think for all of us, when we walk out of our front door, what is the intention for the day? Maybe it's just to get through the next minute, the next hour, the next 24 hours, the next week. Well, what's the intention to do it with? Positivity? Is it grace? You know, right now it's easy to complain, man, right? It's easy to say, oh, my world sucks, or maybe I got furloughed, or maybe my job is difficult. You could flip it very quickly of what a great opportunity to see what else is out there. What a great opportunity for me to spend some time on myself and the lonely work of what really lights me up, what stokes that fire in my belly, and then go with that intention. And I think it's on all of us to pause and say, what are we intending? Pay attention to it. And I bet some version of that is playing out in our lives right now. And you know me, I hope it's the positive version for all of us.
My man, and if it's not, flip it on its head. It's not easy, but it's possible and it's doable, and it really is your responsibility. He is a Pac-12 football analyst. He is a filmmaker. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is host of the Yogi Roth Show podcast. He is a parent for the second time, and he does hold the distinction of being the first in-studio guest on CBS Sports Network and gets his own personal custom greeting. Yogi, that's great. I always appreciate the conversations. Did I or did I not say before it started that it would be awesome, and it was even better than that, my man. Appreciate you so much.
I can't wait to talk to you again, man, and enjoy the games as they get rolling tonight, man. I mean, it's going to be fun as De'Ara King and Miami and Clemson plays this weekend. It's going to be a fun week for all of us who love the game, and it'll be a wild season.
How great is ball? Yogi Roth, my guest. Yogi, great talking to you. Thanks so much. We'll do it again soon. And that is such a good conversation to have at such a good time. Loved it. Loved it. Hope you got something out of that. That's the type of conversation that I would listen to again, and it would be even better the second time in playback.